We're talking with Doug Scott with the Campaign for America's Wilderness. Doug, you've weighed in on this debate that is raging in the environmental community. Is environmentalism dead? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, first, just for context, I have been a part of the active environmental movement on the national scene and the locally around the country since well before the original Earth Day. And I know Dennis Hayes may be one of your guests, and Dennis was the fellow that organized the original Earth Day, hired for that purpose by the board of directors chaired by Gaylord Nelson, and I was one of the student members of that board, so I have a connection to this movement that goes back a long ways. I believe that once again we are going to have a flurry of assertions and broad sweeping generalizations that environmentalism is dead. It's not the first, won't be the last. I find it bordering on tedious debate because it has nothing to do with the real world in which I live. I travel a great deal. I hang around with public land and wilderness preservation and forest reform groups around the country. I have just within the last month been across Idaho in Boise and in small towns. I have been across three major communities in Montana. The health of at least this part of the broad conservation movement, working to see better management of public land resources and forests, working to see wiser use of water, greater protection of wildlife, and preservation of additional wilderness areas. The health of that wilderness movement at the grassroots of that public land movement is as good as it has ever been. Now, these are rough times, and so the context in which we seek these goals, and grassroots groups like the Montana Wilderness Association, the Idaho Conservation League, the Washington Wilderness Coalition, the kind of groups, the Sky Island Alliance, who I'll be visiting next week in Tucson, these groups are hard at work. They have resources. They have respect and strong ties in their local communities. The Montana Wilderness Association has more financial resources, has doubled its membership in the last 3 years, had over 500 paid registrants at its most recent annual convention in December. It's on a roll. Now, in our society at the moment, some environmental issues are extremely hard fought, and they have endless money and resources. And they're getting cleverer all the time. They can throw advertising money that the environmental movement does not have at these issues. And some of these issues are very hard pressed. Only if the American people rise up again and speak out as they have in the past, will we see, the completely unnecessary oil drilling threat in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge can be turned back again, but only if people speak up. So the point, I guess, that I want to make is that I think sweeping generalizations at the level of is environmentalism dead just are whistling in the graveyard in a completely, in a way that just doesn't connect to the universe I see out there across this country.
They raise the issue from the perspective of the failure of the quote-unquote environmental community to address the climate issue and global warming. How are we going to resolve this? Because certainly there is some truth to that, but how do we resolve sort of the on-the-ground environmental movement with this larger context, which is kind of what they're trying to address?
I find that the people that I naturally tend to visit as I do my travels and come to talks that I give or book signings for my new book on wilderness preservation, history, and politics, want to talk about global warming, want to talk about this outrageous clear skies, phony-labeled clear skies effort to gut the Clean Air Act in a way that is unchanged from over the years. And people of environmental concern share a wide variety of concerns. Now, global warming comes at fundamentals of the existing industrial complex and asks that industrial complex across the entire planet to undertake a series of fundamental changes and reorientations that most of those enterprises don't wish to do. It will impose expenses. There's broad concern about what's going on at the level of our global climate. So the issue of global warming takes on a larger swath of, asks for a large degree of economic and social change than nearly anything that the environmental agenda has embraced previously. It should not be surprising that it's difficult. It comes at a time when a president of the United States willfully wishes to pretend the problem would go away, or didn't exist, or is still a subject of respectable scientific debate, which it's not. It hasn't been for quite a while. And that makes it harder. But that just means it's time to roll up our sleeves and work harder and engage more people and educate more people and talk to the neighborhood level and right up to the national dialogue. And I know mass numbers of people are doing that kind of work. And they're not going to be discouraged by a basically esoteric philosophical discussion about whether somehow or other. I guess I'm offended by the phraseology. It makes a cute soundbite. Is environmentalism dead? And it's a nice debater's point. But I think there's so much more serious work to be done to deal with issues like global warming that need to be done with all the focus and energy and creativity that talented people can bring to it. And I just hate to see any element of the existing environmental movement get very distracted. Of course, we ought to constantly, all of us, be reexamining our fundamentals and be looking for better and more effective ways to do our work and to engage the American people in these issues. Like any other social movement made up of fallible human beings, the environmental movement makes errors on individual, there are setbacks. This is nothing new, but my belief is that there is great concern and great support for doing things about issues like global warming out there, being repressed at this point by national leadership at the political level, which would rather bury its head in the sand. But once again, that is a call for the people to lead until the leaders catch up with us.
I know some people are suggesting that the word environment carries quite a political weight, and there's discussions of possibly rephrasing that to re-embrace the concept of conservation. How does that fly by you?
Well, that is one of the oldest go-arounds in the whole subject matter. Sometimes we're the conservation movement, sometimes we're the environmental movement, and of course, what's encompassed within those phrases is very broad. I frankly don't think it amounts to a hill of beans. We live in a sophisticated public relations society today in which words, you know, the president has figured out that referring to fiddling with Social Security in fundamental ways by referring to private accounts doesn't cut it. You know, their pollsters have looked at that in great detail, and so now the word private is suddenly banned in everything they say, and they're trying to get us all to think of it as personal accounts, which somehow or other is supposed to feel more warm and cozy. Environmentalists, conservationists, we will be successful as groups and movements and people if we talk about the values that people care about, the future for themselves and their kids and their grandkids in a healthy environment that will sustain a quality of life that many people feel is slipping away. If we are, in our massively increasing population and economic drive, if we are polluting the nest which we depend upon, we have to clean up our act. And I think there's great public fundamental support for that. It's not something we should take for granted, but we need to be very cautious in sweeping generalizations about the status and politics of what is in fact not one great national movement. You know, if you wanted to change the name from the environmental movement to the conservation movement or aardvark movement tomorrow, you would be basically, who's going to do that? A lot of the groups that I work with aren't waiting for the national leadership of anything to tell them what the word of the day is. They're too busy working on these issues.
That's a wonderful point. And you are on the ground. That's one thing I know about Doug Scott. You're out there working every single day of your life.
I've been on the ground with environmental conservation, hunting, fishing, and public land groups in 30 states in the last 6 months.
Well, perhaps this debate will empower us to really unite and move forward more united into the future.
Well, and if it also explains to us that after a few minutes of indulging in a debate at this level of generality, we get back to work, that would be by far the best possible outcome. And work smarter, harder, engage more people at the neighbor-to-neighbor, across-the-fence kind of conversation that actually enlists people. It was that infectious spirit that these issues could be influenced by normal people, ordinary, everyday people, that led to the huge surge of energy around the original Earth Day in April of 1970. I have seen that work again and again. I know a woman who is a cocktail waitress in a small town casino in rural Nevada who has seen the President of the United States, this President, George W. Bush, sign into law 3 years ago and then again last year, two different laws that protected wilderness areas on the public lands in her state that she was a leader on. And I know too many stories about that kind of impact that ordinary people who get engaged in our democracy can bring about. And it's I'm impatient with this debate because it seems to me to have, while it may lead to some sharpening of concepts and thinking, it is also an enormous time sink that distracts leaders from what they should be doing, which is leading.
Doug Scott, thank you so much for your thoughts on this, and I hope we can have a chance to talk again about many more things.
Great.